I think that that's a secret that's been figured out by a lot of people, possibly. But I had never seen it until the last year or two. And as a shoe holder thing, it seems like a very grandma thing to have that I don't know why anybody would want as what it's designed for.
Yeah.
But for a Bonnaroo camp, it's perfect. It's the best shelving system, and you can just move it around. And who introduced that idea to y'all's group, or was that just old news that we were dumb and late to?
If you haven't started packing your gear for Bonnaroo, you should start now. We're 46 days away. We thought it'd be a good idea to put some people together to talk about just that, what you should be doing now to get ready for Bonnaroo. We've got a special...
Less than 46 days at this point.
Is that less than when you hear that. That's right. When we did this, it was 46. So, yeah. But we thought it would be a good idea to do a live episode, and we did. We got some special guests, and we had some people join us in the chat room to talk about what you should be doing now. Things like getting your car checked, making sure your tent hasn't been eaten by rats, start buying some of your supplies. So you're, you know, $5-$10 here, $5-$10 there, instead of all at once. So that's what this episode is about. This is the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. How are you guys? You ready? Are you packed? Do you have your corner? You got your piles?
I do have the section in the garage that is where things go. It when Bonnaroo ends, it's a like an actual like garbage looking pile. And then after about 4 months, it starts to turn into some semblance of a I'm putting it in order. And then by the time like December rolls around, I'm getting ready for everything being together. Then I got to pull it all out and figure out what got lost in the shuffle and just like the things we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. But man, it's getting here fast. Time flies, and I'm nervous. It's going so quick.
Yeah, me too, yeah. For sure. How about you, Ryan? I'm the complete opposite, Brian. I come home. I have a system. I come home. Used to be, especially when I had a bigger tent that would get wet, I had to let it dry. But when I come home, I repack everything and put it in the big Tupperware things, and then it goes away. And I do that almost immediately because I know that if I do what you do, I won't touch it.
I'm not suggesting people follow my lead on this.
Yeah. No, I just know, I know me. And I know that if I, you know, if I leave the air mattress over in a corner, I won't find it again. So I know me well enough to know I need to put it all in one place.
Well, one of the things I'm not proud of myself is I can fall into deep procrastination at times.
Well, me too.
And then I can just come out of it like just I'm like my hair on fire, and all of a sudden have a week at some random time where I want to get Bonnaroo stuff together that day.
Yeah,
I'll do it for a whole weekend.
I got you.
So that's kind of how it works for me. I apologize real quickly. I want to get this out of the way before I forget. With this scratchy voice, you'll have to listen to it for the next however long the show goes. But I was in Nashville last night. I talked about last year being the Brian summer of fun. Well, this is kind of like the Brian spring of fun. I'm finding myself at shows regularly, and it's been so much fun. And my Pearl Jam run is coming up next week. I'll also a tidbit on that real quick, too. But I wanted to shout out to Grant. I forgot the last name. Of course, you knew I would. I told you I would. But I did remember Grant. And I was at the lot at the Widespread Panic show. And Grant came up and said hello, regular listener. And I just always find that stuff so cool.
Hey, Grant. That's awesome.
And it wasn't just a passing, hey, good to see you. We sat around and way more than small talk. Talk festival, talk Bonnaroo, talk panic. It was really good time. So thanks for saying hello. And then a shout out too, speaking of just like kind of paying attention to live music and things going on here in the spring and everybody's so excited. At least a portion of the Rubus crew has been out in Vegas over the weekend, this past weekend,
yeah,
for Dead & Company. And Evan Bonnaroo, who is with them, is going to be on with you guys next week to talk Bonnaroo and schedule and all those mm-hmm. things, and probably a little bit of a review of their trip to Vegas as well. So I want to say thank Evan for that. But I always want to be here. I'll always try to make it happen. But this is my Pearl Jam split over a weekend. I'll be in two different cities, two shows, 4 days. And I am crazy excited for this one, because last year when I went up to see him in New York is so all consuming. You know, like everything is just so wildly, to me, awesome. Some people might say crazy. Yes, the Pearl Jam show was fun, and I was so happy to go with our buddy Brad Steiner originally from the show. But this is different. This is getting a bunch of Pearl Jam buddies. Brad couldn't wait for the show to be over. Like, I could
yeah,
tell the whole time.
That's not his thing. That's
he
not
couldn't
his gig.
Wait to leave. And it was one of the few times I had a little leverage just because he was giving it to. He was letting me have the leverage. It's just like, we'll be done in a little bit. You'll be fine. I'm going with a bunch of Pearl Jam heads in Atlanta, Nashville. So I am really excited about that. So Evan will be in for me next week. Thank you so much for that. And hope you guys enjoy it. I just want to make sure you get that out there.
And hey, Grant, anybody like that, if you see us out, please say hello. It means the world.
Does.
Means the world to us. We were talking about it before we started recording.
Just
it really
like,
does mean a lot.
Brock a few weeks ago that spotted
the Brock and the Dogs in the Pile show. Mm-hmm. If Dogs in a Pile goes places, that guy was on top of that one before we were. So we'll give you credit once or twice, maybe, and then we'll say we discovered him if that ever happens.
Very cool.
But we got a couple of guests that you've seen on the show before today, and looking forward to talking to them.
Yeah, we've got Beth and Abby. Beth, who is now a campmate. I feel, I say it every time, I feel like we crashed their party, but they've been so kind.
We
to
did
let
a
us.
Little,
yeah.
but
I
they let us.
I think it was more of a merger.
Yeah, they
it
let
was an accidental merger.
Well, because I think what you mean by this, maybe Barry, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. We crashed their party because they had so much more things we wanted and then gave us.
Yeah.
Food and storage. And the only thing I contributed to their camp at all was some cold brew. I think Brad had one cold brew out of my cooler.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's my contribution. One
there you
cold
go.
Brew.
Yeah, it counts.
But I will
$3
say $3
contribution.
And you both correct me if I'm wrong, but we said it before, and correct me if I'm wording this wrong, but I felt like when we went last year going in, it felt like, I don't know how much more longer we can do this. But when we left...
A little.
It was, no, I'm in. This is, not only does Bonnaroo feel like it got me back, but now we have a new camp.
Yeah.
A new sort of... You know, our Camp Nut Butter changed. A lot of the same people don't go anymore.
Out of the ashes
now we got
of
a
our
new
old
group.
Camp and group. Yeah, we've kind of reformed and gotten bigger and better, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from every angle on Bonnaroo last year, which we won't get into now, but lots and lots of it's back. We're all feeling it. We all feel the same thing for different reasons. We're all feeling it. But for us specifically, with just the anecdotes of our 3.5 days that we were all like there together and doing lots and together a lot, that as we felt like we were losing, you know, everything from our camping aspect, from it being one of the better you'll ever see to one that's just serviceable. Like it's serviceable enough to get by. Well, crashed the party, and now we have good friends that we talk from. I mean, me and Beth talk all the time, and Brad, and I know you guys connect on some other things, Brad and Mike and them. I love it. Love it. That's what this festival's all about and what makes it great. As soon as you think, oh, all my friends are leaving. No, then go make new friends.
Yeah, it's a new
just,
era. New
just go find more friends because they want to be your friend.
And I hope they feel that way. That's what I mean by crash. That's how I feel. And then they say, man, I hope those guys don't come back.
I know what you're saying and why you're saying it, Barry. I'm the first to say I think I'm annoying everybody here. I believe that we are a welcomed addition to their camp, and I know they're a welcomed addition to ours.
I think so,
because
we've also done Cave Fest with them before. It's not just Bonnaroo. We've hung out with them multiple times per year now at this point.
We're lucky. we're lucky to
have. It's enhanced our experience, to be sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we go. This is, again, the theme, which we don't typically have themes, but what you should be doing now to get ready for Bonnaroo. And that's what we talked about on this live episode. And thanks to everybody that joined in. Pondo, man, always glad to hear from you, brother. Bonadude, Dan Sweeney, a bunch of other people. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but thank you guys for dropping in. And we will see you on the farm. But here's our what you should be doing now to get ready for Bonnaroo. I think we've all had one of those moments where it was our first time and we wish we could do it again and again and again, right? Whether you're Christmas at age 5 or you found out that Eddie Vedder is your spirit animal, or it's that first kiss, or you realizing that older women with blue hair are really attractive. Bonnaroo, that
first...
A
lot of
first,
angles there, everybody.
I know. And you can figure out where I'm going with it. But Bonnaroo, your first time, is unlike anything else that I can think of. And it's one of those that I wish I could do over again and again and again for many reasons. I wish I knew what I knew. But it was just such an amazing transformation. And so if you're here and you're listening, it's either your first time or you're a veteran. I'm here. I'm Barry. I started the very first year, 2002. That's Brian. He's been going every year since 2002. That's Russ. He started in 2018 when we started this podcast. With us is Beth. I don't remember what your first year was. What was your first year, Beth?
2004.
Long time ago.
04.
Yeah.
So, and then Abby, who has another, also a great story, first-time story, which is why you guys are here. So the point of this show today is what you should be doing right now to get ready. So, again, we assume that if you're here, you're either a veteran, you've done it, or you're a first time. And so we want to talk about the smart things we've done, the bad things we've done, the mistakes that we've made, the what we're doing right now to get ready. So, hey guys, how is everybody?
Good. Good. Tired.
Super excited to be here.
I'm doing excellent. I just got in town about an hour ago from Widespread Panic in Nashville last night. New hat, everybody. Excuse my terrible voice. It's not going to get better or only get worse. Thank you for your patience with that with today's show. But this will only be the second live show I've done with you guys. The announcement of the lineup this year and this, and so I enjoy doing the live aspect.
Yeah,
it's
we
fun.
Haven't done a lot of them. So
yeah, hopefully we can do more.
Beth, you're on the West Coast.
I am. Yeah, I'm actually staying at my friend's house in Seattle this weekend.
And Abby, you are where?
I'm in Missouri. Missouri.
Say misery? Misery.
So we're all across the country. So we're going to talk about what we are doing right now to get ready, because now is the time, actually all year, as we've noted, as we do this every week. But Beth, you're traveling the farthest.
Yeah, let's start there if we don't care, Barry, of just her coming from that far away. And you know, a lot of, we talked to somebody who came from Ireland, you know, not long ago, Grenadine, which was a whole wild story, but 3,000 miles away or whatever it is certainly a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Beth.
When do you start thinking about it, Beth? Because let's back up a little bit. We know Beth because
I start at the end of last Bonnaroo.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But let me back up a little bit. So we know Beth because we randomly were lucky enough to camp next to you and your friends from Nashville, right? And so you've become, or we've become, I don't know how you want to claim it. Either we crashed your party or you crashed our party.
We crashed theirs.
I'm fine now. But... when do you start thinking about next year's Bonnaroo?
Wait a minute. We lost her.
We lost Beth. Why don't we jump? Why don't we jump to Abby? Yeah. And right, we can ask the same question. First of all, I am going to use that misery line next time Missouri comes up. I don't know when it will be, but I'll give you credit the first time. After that is mine. What about you? Missouri's not down the road.
No, it's about 8 hours from where I start to where I finish when I set up on the farm. And I think I start planning, which, of course, this is only going to be my second year, but I've not had a day that went by that I didn't think about Bonnaroo in some aspect, getting together with friends and deciding what the camping was going to look like, what we were going to do, how are we going to logistically make it all happen, because we all kind of come from different points in the country as well.
So how many do you connect with? I mean, your sample size is small. We know that. But is it a handful, or are you coming from multiple states?
So our friend Katrina comes from up in Chicago. Our friends Delaney and Johnny and Tyler and Graham and Frankie, they're all coming from the Atlanta area. My friend Madison and I and Ray come from Missouri. So we all kind of migrate to the farm and from these different points.
So how do you do it then? Group chats? Is it, do you have like Google chat? I mean, what are you guys using? Who's bringing what? You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. So we started mapping out and deciding how we were going to go about it. Pretty much the month after Rue ended last year. We have a shared Google Doc, Excel sheet that lists what's needed. People sign up for different things. For those that are in Atlanta, they're signing up for those bulkier, bigger items because they have the means to get it there a little easier than those of us that are traveling way yonder. So we have the shared Google Doc. We have group chats. The girlies all have their own group chat together. And then we have like a group chat with everybody all together as
so,
well.
So who in your group is the taco of ours who gets mad as hell at the ones that don't pay attention to the Google Doc enough?
The one who says, I made a Google Doc.
Our friend Tyler, I believe, is the one that set it all up. He did a great job, and we've all just kind of thrown it. We all get so excited, to be honest. It's not hard to get anybody to contribute.
Well, don't be like me and ignore the Google Doc. Pay attention.
Is it along those lines? Though, seriously, is it pretty active? Everybody contributes. Everybody understands that they got to bring something. You don't have any slackers.
No, we really don't. It's actually like between all of us, we're all so generous that we all want to bring everything and provide the things. So we have to like be real with each other and go, okay, look. We don't need everybody to bring paper towels, or why don't you let us bring these bigger items and you bring, you know, the med kit and all the detail stuff that you're looking to bring. So it's not a fight, but we're all willing to jump in. And
well, everybody's really, you know, wanting to contribute. That's a very common theme, I would guess, in most people's groups getting together. But yeah, you don't want 50 rolls of toilet paper or paper towels and then two garbage bags like that. That ain't gonna work. So yeah, you got to divvy it out. You got to delegate very well.
So, along those lines, who's the worrier? Somebody has to be the one who says, like Brian just said, we already got 50 rolls of toilet paper. We need garbage. Who's the one who says, we're missing this, we're missing that?
That's me. I am the natural anxious Annie of the group. I think probably I have a fear of like, I would rather have something and never use it than not have it and be freaking out about it. So I probably am the one that will end up doubling up on things secretly, even though we didn't need it, just because it'll feel better in the back of my mind.
All right. You said something, and I was wondering how to bring this up, because you can see it's three bunch of guys. You said you have your own girl chat.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit, because Bonnaroo is, as we've said, and this is important, it's a week on the farm in Middle Tennessee. These are not issues that either one of the three of us ever think about, but y'all have to, right? I mean, So
we start kind of rallying of as far as like, okay, planning out let's say, appointments and needs and things that we want to do for our self-image that we may have going, like waxes or skincare routines and all these other things. But as a female, you do worry about nature taking its course or different things on the farm. So everybody's kind of ready to prep and giving each other like tips and tricks to get through it if you are stuck with that in the heat. And I think all girls going to the farm that are worried about something like that, there's so many forums in Reddit specifically like dedicated to that, and TikToks and different things that you can look at and kind of get some ideas of how to handle the wonderful life that is the female body and under those conditions. But also, we don't want to annoy the guys in the Thurgert chat because outfits, like we're planning outfits and themes and talking about
thank
what's
you
comfortable,
for that.
What's not. So we have our own group chat that. To not bother them, but they we do throw in the themes and they're on board and they're excited to dress up with us as well, but we don't make them sit through the 150 messages a day going back and forth about
so
it.
When y'all are doing your fit checks, right, you don't subject that to the entire group, even though I know it's very popular and people love it. I'm being the jerk about it, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So again, do you have in your house a corner where everything is piled up?
So my basement just decided to start flooding a lot recently with all the rainy season. Uh-oh. Yeah, cool. So nice. Everything is kind of in storage totes anyway, but that's how I travel my roo stuff, is everything is neatly packed in these storage containers that just throw in the car, throw them out. They make great tables at camp and a place to set things and store things. If it starts raining, you can just throw everything in the totes. So I've got a stack of those on shelving, and they're all kind of labeled with what's gear, what's like accessories, what's going to be for cleaning supplies and paper towels and baggies and all that kind of junk. So everything's very gathered at this point. Hydro packs and the shoes that you don't care about that can get muddy and stuff like that's all packed away, ready to go. And then the canopy, I do need to go get out of my storage unit because I don't keep that at the house.
So one of the reasons that I was excited that you were going to join us today is because you had such a bad, well, that's not the right word. You had
frustrating and nerve-wracking and anxiety.
It could have been bad.
Let's bring Beth on before we get started.
Here, come back.
Perfect.
She's coming back.
All right.
Hey, Beth.
There we go.
Okay. All right, let's see.
Way to ruin the show, Beth.
I know. Well, this is a very Bonnaroo problem because I'm at my friend's house and the Wi-Fi's just decided to stop working. So.
Well, we started talking about the anxious groups of Abby, and then we could go around the room on this. And the whole time I'm thinking, Beth, arrow, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
she's one of the anxious ones, but she's coming from the Pacific Northwest, which... Yeah. My goodness, I can't even begin to think about that. We were starting to talk to you before you dropped. Let's go back to that. Just a quick, as quickly as you can put it together, your thoughts and how you get together and your plans and to get from Washington State to Middle Tennessee in a matter of days in the first or second week of June every year.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated. My family is on the East Coast, so I try to combine trips with that, which usually makes a lot of different legs and a lot of packing for different situations.
Yeah, and East Coast, we're talking Maine.
Yeah, so my family's in Maine. So a lot of my friends are in Philly.
Pin.
Yeah, so I usually fly to Philly first and then go to Nashville and then go to Maine and then go back to Philly and then fly home. But I can't do that this year because I teach and my last week of classes overlaps with Bonnaroo. So I need to fly overnight Tuesday night to Nashville. So I just got my flight for that.
Well, part of what we were talking about was like, do you have like a corner of your room of the house where everything is packed? Your Bonnaroo stuff is packed. Like I do, I have Tupperware. Everything stays in the same place. When I come home, I dry it, I clean it, and it goes right back. So I know where it is.
Yep.
Is that how you are?
I would be like that. I would definitely be the party planner and bring all the fun stuff and have all the backups and everything. But I can't because I fly. And not only do I fly, but my camera is a carry-on. So my camera gear takes up one of my carry-ons. So I now keep a lot of stuff in our friend Mike's garage, which is amazing. I have a whole set of camping gear that is in Murfreesboro.
And he's in Nashville, correct?
He's in Murfreesboro, yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah. So I've just been kind of building up my collection of stuff there. I borrow a sleeping bag. I have a tent there. I have a moon mat. So it's all just waiting for me in Mike's garage.
So along those lines, what do you do like during the year, maybe March, February, March of last year when you say, oh, this would be cool. I'd like to have that. Do you buy it and ship it to Murfreesboro or do you make him go to the local REI and get it and pick it up or you have it shipped to his
Mike
house?
I'd make Mike do it.
Yeah, I mean, poor
Mike.
Make
Mike do it.
He ends up doing a lot of the
Not
work
poor
on this,
Mike.
But...
Mike's got it made.
Yeah.
Mike's got it made.
He doesn't care. He would do it. I'm just wondering how you do that.
Yeah, I did send a lot of stuff last year. Now I pretty much have everything I need there. So it's just going to be packing clothes and camera stuff. But yeah, I mean, I start thinking about it. I think about gadgets that I want. I mostly think about, you know, when I'm taking photos, we're supposed to wear black. And black's the worst thing to wear the heat, mm-hmm. in the sun. So right now I'm thinking about lightweight black shirts that I could find to bring. So I'm going to be shopping for that stuff.
So we were just starting to set the stage. So as I was saying, and then when your internet went away, we crashed your campsite, you and the three guys from Nashville. Very, very cool people. Very cool to let us sort of camp next to you guys, and we've become friends. I like to hope. But you guys have an amazing setup, and Brian alluded to it a couple of episodes ago. You got one of those shoe racks that you hang in the corner and put all of the condiments in. Genius.
Yeah, I think that I'm glad you went there real quick because I was thinking about this earlier. I think that's a secret that's been figured out by a lot of people, possibly, but I had never seen it until the last year or two. And as a shoe holder thing, it seems like a very grandma thing to have that I don't know why anybody would want as what it's designed for.
Yeah.
But for a Bonnaroo camp, it's perfect. It's the best shelving system, and you can just move it around. And Who introduced that idea to y'all's group, or was that just old news that we were dumb and late to?
I'm sure that was Mike. I mean, I've seen it at other festivals that I've been to, and it's the sort of thing that I would bring. But yeah, Mike is really good at thinking about the gadgets and how we're going to set it up. He added the disco ball last year. He added some lights. He's got that. Added a Blackstone so we can cook.
That Blackstone was nice, by the way.
Yeah. And we've said for years, don't cook. Don't plan on cooking. You don't want anything hot. But I mean, man, that breakfast and that stir fry,
mm-hmm.
was amazing. Yeah. So
yeah.
What's funny is he cooked a lot of that ahead of time, right? He did the rice and had all that. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about is if you can plan ahead and, you know, think about a Friday night meal or a Saturday breakfast or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said plan ahead because I did plan ahead.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Attaboy.
Oh, there we go. I knew something was missing around here.
Attaboy.
Something was missing.
All right, go ahead.
And it wasn't the second half of that panic show that left me disappointed. Anywho, we'll continue.
So, Abby,
I can't be happy about anything.
Abby, does your group do that sort of thing? Do you plan meals ahead or when you're going to have meals together, or is it all free for all?
A little bit of both. So one of our campmates is a master chef, from what I hear. And ooh. So he is like, if you bring the things and you want it made, like, I'll cook it. They do cook at the campsite a little bit. I think we're kind of on that same train. A lot of people recommended to me last year, which was like, plan on like one meal a day once Thursday hits, like in Cineroo. The food is phenomenal. I enjoyed everything I had. So I kind of budgeted for that, and I brought a lot of snack. I'm a grazer. I don't like heavy meals when
you
it's
need
hot.
Need a snack. Yeah. Snack. Protein snack. Snack it up. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I like beef jerky and stuff that was in
trail
the cooler
mix.
That was just easy. Yeah. Stuff that wouldn't melt, which my poor nutty bars, they did not make it. That's something
that
I won't be bringing
work.
This year.
Rookie mistake there, Abby. Rookie mistake.
All right.
Well, what I'll say about my camping over the last 20 some odd years, it's changed so many times, and it's kind of so much like everything else in my life. About 20 years ago, I was a little ahead of the curve. 10 years ago, starting to get behind it. Now, I don't know what's going on with the latest and best and greatest. I think a shoe thing hanging on the side is like the greatest innovation I've ever seen, and it's like, well, yeah, where you been, man? But to reset it slightly where we were about 10, 12 years ago, Barry, and then Taco, you were around about 3 or 4 years after that. You want to see a great camping spot, just come by and see us. We were the gold standard.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't because of what we were doing as much as so many others. We had just, our network had grown so huge. And a little bit of what you guys have already talked, especially you, Abby, we're kind of talking about the delegation nature. And we did that, and it worked so well until it just fades off. Things change. We move along. And now we're kind of wayward, lost without a home. Crashed with Beth and the and Brad and Mike and the dudes, as she often refers
the dudes,
to. The
man.
Yeah, and I think we're on the precipices of a new great camp this year. And I am really excited about getting back to not just hoping I make it through the night without something falling on my tent or the weather taking me out or something like that. So
something falling on your tent would be the best thing that could happen to that tent.
Man, just to ruin it.
Just get rid of it.
You could start over and have a real tent.
I have a little hiker's camp thing that, you know, like hiker would take with him that he can set up real quick.
It's a shoebox. He crawls in a shoebox.
But it's so comfy once I get in there. It's tiny, you know.
All right, it's like
a cocoon. I'll come out as a butterfly.
Along those lines, this is one of the things that I wanted to do. So, Abby especially, and both of you, you both have somewhat similar stories, though their timing is different. You both had occasions where you showed up and you didn't know anybody, right? Or Abby, you had your wristband stolen and you got sidetracked and you were alone and you got separated, I think, from your brother, right? And then you managed to find your whoever you were going with and you found it. So for that person who's coming for the first time, what is your best advice? Maybe it's somebody who's coming alone or even for the first time.
Or meeting people from another state or something
like that. Yeah, it's got to be stressful. I mean, Brian and I have laughed about it. We're stressed and we're 55 minutes away. We are the last people on earth that need to be stressed, but we are. I can't imagine 8 hours, and Beth, I don't even know how you do it. And coming from Ireland, not even in this lifetime am I doing that. So, what is your advice for those people who are coming for the first time? They're super excited. They're coming to a farm. They're coming for a week. I mean, what are you telling them?
Yeah, let's start with Abby. You go ahead with that one. What do you think?
So one of the things I wrote down outside of like the what to do to get ready physically and what to prep for like those long car rides and getting ready that way is to come up with a plan B like now. And I don't mean plan B like you need it very detailed, but consider like if it's raining or cold or what you're going to do. And I guess if you're someone that would be coming alone, the expectations I think come back into play here of like have the idea of like finding people with similar interests, go to the shows you want and maybe be willing to reach out, get to know people, link up, and I guarantee by day two you're not alone the rest of the festival. Everyone's just so welcoming. And then another plan B situation for like kind of like what happened similar to me or some of my group last year. What if your phone or wallet gets stolen? Like, have something kind of in the mindset of, like, if this happened, here's what we're going to do. Maybe have your password shared with somebody you trust that you can get a hold of and be like, I need to log into my bank. I need to get a hold of so and so because they have access to send me money.
It's
to
like a
Venmo.
Lifeline. Yeah, a little lifeline there. Mm-hmm.
Just have that safety net so that those things, if they happen, because inevitably they will to some people, you can continue on with your weekend and have a good time and move past it.
Beth, what are thoughts on first timers or first, second, third timers that are coming in different variations and best ways to be at least not let down as much as possible?
Not have your whole week ruined.
Yeah, I mean, along with that, I think the best thing that we started doing was to put all of our phone numbers on our lock screens or our phones. So if you drop your phone, somebody picks it up, they can't get into it. But on the lock screen, I have the dude's numbers so that somebody could then call my phone. If their intentions are good, then call the dudes, get my phone back. I think I'm going to start putting some glow-in-the-dark sort of stickers on things because just for camera gear and everything like that, I've been finding that I drop things and everything's black and I can't find it. So I'm going to put more, neon or glow-in-the-dark stickers on things, which is not about meeting people. So meeting people, if I lived closer, I would bring a lot of gadgets that people wouldn't think of that they might need, like the mallet that Russ has for stakes for your tent and, just a lot of little random camping things that people who don't camp don't always think about. And that's a really good way to make friends because you see that somebody needs something, you have it to offer them. And that's how you kind of start conversations with camping neighbors.
That's a good one because after 20 years, I still don't have that mallet and I still don't have the things, the simple things. That's a good one.
Nobody has everything.
Yeah. I like to think that's me, but we also had Denson in our group. Denson, as I've joked many times, Denson is the guy, you'd say, I need a hammer. And he'd say, what do you need, a ball peen? Or you need like a 20-ounce roofing hammer? I mean, what are we talking about? Because he's got it.
Yeah, he's the classic, the guy that gets the nickname the mayor. He was our mayor.
He's the hunter, fisherman. He's got the knife. He's got the extra, stakes for. Yeah. So, if you're somebody who lives close, and therefore you can, bring that kind of stuff, duct tape, rope, extra camp stakes.
Police tape.
Tarps.
Caution tape. Yeah. Caution tape.
Caution tape. So we have that. What else are the...
People think twice before they tear that caution police tape.
What else? But tarps, extra tarps, bungee cords, zip ties.
Warm clothes, because a lot of people don't know that it gets cold at night.
It can.
So if I could, I'd bring extra sweaters and stuff for people.
I'll give you a perfect example. Blanket. Yeah, exactly. Extra warmth of all the way around. It doesn't happen every year, but it happens a lot. And I'll give you a good example. I was in Nashville last night. It's a very warm day, almost 80 for the high. We're about 10 degrees lower than we're expecting, in a month and a half. But it got down to about 65 last night. Well, 65 doesn't sound that chilly.
We've had a fire in the chimney all day.
Except for a little bit of a wind comes through there, All of a sudden the whole damn place is freezing.
Yeah.
So it's just your body temperature just dropping and a lot of factors there too. So people have trouble. They like, thanks mom, I don't need a jacket. Actually you do, son. Get a jacket.
Yeah,
Russ, you're the one for this. You do this every weekend, pretty much. You have the bus, you camp all the time, so you can literally, if I called and said, hey, let's go camping, you could do it.
Yeah,
I could do it. I could get in the bus and drive off right now and have pretty much everything I need.
So what do you have? What are your go tos like that you have all the time? Yeah.
I have everything you just mentioned. I've got tarps, I've got bungee cords, I've got zip ties, I've got tools, I've got a hammer, like the mallet, I've got extra tent stakes, I've got rope.
He's got alternate power in that bus too, by the way, that he can run a whole separate power. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got cables, I've got adapters. I mean, it's all stuff that at some point back in the past, I was like, oh man, I really need this.
And then I'll come home and I'll get it.
Yeah, or somebody else needs it. Yeah, it's not always necessarily what I need, but just stuff that has come up, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll put that in the bus, and then it'll just live there. Luckily, it's got tons of cabinets, tons of storage, stuff under the seat, so I can really pack, you know, everything. So at this point, it's like, what's not in there might be an easier answer, but...
See, Russ is very, very valuable to the... But Russ is very valuable to this show and to our campsite and to our entire experience. Unlike me, who understands all these things as it's happening, like, oh, we could use all these things. I'm done. I'm off. And then I never think about it again. He makes a mental note, fills it in. Kind of like it's a symptom of the pay attention to the Google Docs, bro.
Yeah, that's what it is. But you also, and when we were talking about doing this show a couple of days ago, Russ, and I think you wanted to make the point, and I think it's very important, car maintenance. Beth, you're flying. Abby, are you driving? You guys are driving. Yeah. So let's talk about getting the car ready. I mean, how important is, and when does that start? Again, I think now is the time, right?
We're
a month out. Make sure your tires are good, your engine's good, your oil's changed. Whoever's driving, you know, is ready, right?
Keep track of your keys. Yeah. Bring an extra key for something.
An extra key is a
and
is
write a note
a,
where
a
it is.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, don't put it in the glove compartment.
No, my recommendation for an extra key is on Amazon. You can get like a magnetic box that's just big enough to hold a key maybe, and you can just kind of stick it under the frame of
like
your
under
car
the wheel well or something.
Under the wheel well or, yeah, somewhere up there. Just so that if your keys do get lost or they get locked in or something, you have a way to actually get in. That could save you a lot of headache. AAA has been a huge one for me, just from, cause it's, I've got the platinum or whatever, cause I actually end up using it just about every year. Remember a couple months ago, I got stuck on the side of the highway with a broken, accelerator cable. AAA had to come out and tow me out. But even if you don't need a tow, AAA will bring you, they'll come and jumpstart you.
They'll unlock you too, I think, right?
They'll send a locksmith if your car's locked in. You know, they'll come bring you gas if you run out of gas. I mean, they'll pretty much save you no matter what. And it helped me, I guess, a year ago now. I was shaking knees in Atlanta. I was parked in a parking garage. I wasn't camping, but I stayed in a hotel. I got out Sunday morning and went to leave. Battery was dead. So, you know, AAA came out and jumped me off. I would say now is the time to get ready. If you're close to an oil change, go ahead and get it done, especially if you got a long trip. Check stuff like your tires, tire pressure, tire tread. If you don't, you know, you could take it somewhere. If you don't know how to check all that, you could take it to a shop and just tell them, hey, I've got a big trip coming up. Can you just go through the checklist? And because if you need a tire or you need a, you know, something, rather get it done now than go down the side of the road and end up getting stranded.
Abby, I saw you shaking your head. Is it worth pre-packing just to make sure everything you guys think, you know, if you're bringing four people, is it worth pre-packing to make sure it's all going to fit?
So I got a new car in January that has a third row even option. So I don't think this year I'll need to do that. But last year I definitely did because I drive about 2 hours from where I live and pick up others. This year I'm only picking up one other and then leaving from there. So by the time all of our stuff gets packed in, it's like, okay, how are we going to do this? Now I have so much room. But yes, it is worth it, and you should do it because you need to make sure you can see while you're driving and that you're going to be comfortable. Because last year I rode in the back seat like this for 8 hours.
There it is.
And
for 8 hours.
Because we had like cases of water, and by the time you get it all in there and it's like, well, we already have it, we need it, we gotta go. So definitely pack it, unpack it. Another tip would be check like your windshield wipers and like little things that you maybe wouldn't think about. Make sure that those function, because it is kind of scary to be driving in a new place and not really know where you're going and having crappy visibility. And also make sure you check laws of states you're driving through as far as like having things around your license plate.
Or hanging from your mirror.
Yep. Hanging from your mirror. Yep. Like stuff that's legal in my state is not legal in Tennessee. Like I have to take my license plate cover off.
Yeah, Tennessee is getting weirder and weirder about that. It's bothering us a little bit. Another topic for another podcast. But yes, check the laws, especially also too with alcohol laws, state by state, how much you can have. Most people don't get bothered with that. Meaning from law enforcement, but it is very much a law. State lines, alcohol changes. Every single state has their own alcohol laws. So do at least understand that and know that if you have 50 cases of beer and you get in trouble, if there's anything,
state lines,
50 cases is way, it's smoking the bandit like style. And if you got a cop that doesn't like it, you're going to have a bad time there too. But that's a very good point, Abby. Thanks for bringing it up.
You're not supposed to have anything from hanging from your rearview mirror in Tennessee. And not that you will get pulled over just for that. But every state trooper knows it's Bonnaroo weekend. They're going to be looking at every car a little more closely.
Yep. Revenue Enhancement Week in Tennessee, and the Tennessee Department of Transportation knows this and takes full advantage of it.
The more you can do to blend in with traffic, and so don't paint, you know, Bonnaroo or Happy River or anything on your car.
Yeah.
I know it's so hard to not do that because it's so neat.
Marijuana leaf, don't on your window.
That is a suggestion.
Pull me over.
None of you listening to this, God bless you for being fans and being here for this show today. So many of you will not listen to this because 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have listened either. Don't paint your car up. It is. When you get there, go nuts. But
Once you get there, it's fine. But you want to be incognito.
But it is fun. But it's so fun driving down the road for 5 hours, and then you see the Bonnaroo people, and they're your people just as much as if you were in Centaroo. There's our Bonnaroo people. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Still, you know.
All right. So
speaking of Bonnaroo people, do you want to read a few comments?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot we were live.
Dan says, I think Dan Sweeney was one of our Patreons at some point. Or he says, keep an eye out for Memorial Day sales. It's a good idea. That's a good point.
Oh, before and prior, like what? Yeah. As soon as Memorial Day is over, you're gonna get a bunch of different many things that could work somehow in any creative way on the farm.
Along those lines, I'd like to ask Dan, what is he looking for? What's he hoping to go get? That's one of my questions that I wanted to ask everybody today. What's the, because Russ, you and I have talked about, like I brought a fan last year.
That was awesome.
The battery. And then we saw, I guess Brad Parker told us about a mister, which you can add.
Like with a 5-gallon bucket or something.
Yeah, water to those fans and it shoots.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's coming.
Yeah, Barry, let's tell you. Beth was impressed with the fan.
The fan
was awesome.
That was key. Yeah.
So that's what I want to ask everybody, what's your REI or your, you know, whatever. What's the thing you're getting this year that you're adding to your camp?
So. Beth, let's start with you. What do you got? Anything new that you're thinking about?
I don't know. For me, it's always just packing efficiency and figuring it out because you can
use a wish list or a wish list for someone else.
Yeah, what do you want us to bring?
Maybe I could do it.
Yeah. I mean, we should maybe.
Please don't ask me.
More than one fan would be good because just that cross ventilation because it was so hot last year that you kind of need to have some kind of fan situation.
Not just a fan, but a way to power it, right? Because remember, batteries.
Awesome. Importantly,
have a few extra batteries charged up that you can swap out.
Yeah. But I'm always thinking too about. I mean, I think packing efficiency is an art that I'm always working on. Last year, I did a couple of Instagram stories about trying to pack as much as you can into a small space and how to do all that. So I use those. I tried using the Space Saver bags where you suck the air out so you can get more stuff into a duffel bag. But note that makes it incredibly heavy. So it doesn't really, you know.
And you got to carry it back.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily. Well, then left it all at Mike's.
Oh, well, that works.
Right. I can just keep leaving more and more stuff at his house. Yeah, I'm going to start expanding to your houses soon, too.
Fair enough.
There's not too much in his garage. Yeah.
Right. So what's the next?
Do we want to go back to comments?
Yeah, sorry, I hijacked the comments.
All right. Johnny says, first time going solo this year. He's been using us as his main resource to get ready. So,
all right. Thanks, Johnny. Yeah. I hope you have a blast. Day, year one.
Hopefully
it's going
to
be a wild one. It's going to be a wild one for you. No matter what, it's going to be a wild one for you.
Adam and Anastasia says, first time in 24, also from Missouri. About 5 hours and came in.
All you miserable people.
Miserable people.
To save your soul.
Daniel says, love hearing Bonnaroo talk on a Sunday. So
do I.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So
Lee says, love the pod. Excited to be back this year for my second Roo. Hope to be back every year that I can going forward.
And then I like another one of this from Dan on talking about on driving in as inconspicuously as possible. Dress like you're going to church. Drive like you're going to see grandma. There it is.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's the answer. It's not sexy. It's not sexy, but it's safe.
I love it. That's awesome.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, and he does mention backup batteries, too. That's, oops, wrong one. There we go. Backup batteries, the Ryobi Misty fans, especially if it's a kind of gear that you can use, you know, the common batteries on, that you can swap, mix and match and stuff.
And Ryobi's the fairly decently priced stuff for sure. Abby, we were talking, we got started before we went to there, things you're thinking about this year new that maybe are going to enhance the camping experience. Have you and your group chats talked about that?
So yes and no. I feel like we've kind of had such a great setup that I'm camping not under a canopy this year, but they have an RV.
Ooh, look at Abby over here.
I know. So
year two, she's already RVing it.
Well, but listen, I also bought a camping pass, so I will have with the other half of the group that is still tank camping. Like, I'll have a plot with them. My car will be there. My
satellite
canopy will be there.
I
can kind of, like, see whatever mood I'm in and go. So I don't know that there's really many improvements. I think that the wonderful world of Reddit and the experienced Roo goers in the group kind of have it down. Other than maybe this year for the RV area, we are adding we're going to make sure that we pay for a backup generator to make sure devices and things and everything stays charged.
Right.
Which last year I had camped neighbors that were wonderful and had something like that. So my stuff always stayed charged. And I got a new hydro pack, so I'm ready to drink a bunch of water and stay hydrated.
I have a feeling that your satellite camp over there with your buddies with the tents and stuff are going to be, I wonder where Abby is. I haven't seen her in a while.
Once you sit down on that RV,
she been?
You're never going back to your car camp. Yeah.
So let's talk about the first timer. Here's how it's going to go, right? You're going to travel, whether it's 1 hour or 10 hours or whatever. You're going to be super excited. You're going to get in line. You're going to be confused. You're going to pull in. Thankfully, they fixed the time, you know, less than an hour. You're going to get out of your car, and then what? And that's kind of what I'm looking at. I have my list. Bring a good attitude. Bring a very positive attitude. Get to know your neighbors immediately. Take a minute. Get set up, right? Get somewhat set up.
It doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to just pop right up. You can spend some time on it.
We always kind of did, but we've done it. So, I mean, that's like in my mind, I want to get my tent. I want to get all that. And then I want to sit down. I want to then pop a beer, whatever, drink, whatever. But if I'm first time, I mean, I got to think I got to go. I want to go see everything.
Mm-hmm. So anxious. Yeah.
So anxious. Take a minute. Take a look around. Get oriented, right? Not just who's next to you, but landscape. And here's the thing I guess I'm trying to say is it's going to change. You think you've got your landmark. It isn't going to look like that.
Oh, you mean like your environment's going to look
everything,
different?
Just yeah. everything. Yeah. It's going to change. It's going to change.
Like,
many,
oh, yeah, this will be easy to find. And then, like, 24 hours later, it looks like you're in another state, a new festival all of a sudden.
Right. And you want to, you're pent up. You want to, you know, shotgun beers. You want to hit the tequila. You want to do whatever.
And you can do that.
And you can do that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Go slow.
But again, as we've said many, many times, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Especially if you're getting there on Tuesday, you want to be there on Monday, right? So talk about that, how you guys sort of, and your group, how do you deal with the whole thing, you know, that first day?
Trying to keep excitement in check enough to get things effectively
and efficiently
done.
That's your work, so you're with us, so you're in a different, I assume you don't get out of the car that way. Like.
I'm going to be working. Yeah. I can say though, the first year, my first Bonnaroo, I think we flew, I can't remember if I flew or drove, but anyway, whichever it was, I wasn't wanting to go to the bathroom all the time. So I was dehydrated. I didn't drink enough water that day. And I didn't realize that it was night. It didn't seem very hot, but I ended up in the medic tent the first day I was at Bonnaroo because I was so dehydrated. They had to inject fluids or whatever. So that's my number one thing, is just drink a bottle of water as soon as you get there, even if you don't feel hot or you don't feel like you're sweating, because the travel is just going to dehydrate you. And that can really mess up your experience at the beginning.
That's a great tip.
Also, things like watermelon are good. They used to sell those big salted watermelon slices, and that's what finally brought me back to life in that situation, because ate some watermelon with salt on it, and it rehydrated me enough to be able to enjoy the experience.
The sound of
should we bring a big watermelon this year?
I think
as long as you don't plug a thing of vodka in the back of it, I'll be fine.
Yeah, stuff
or,
like that.
Or you can just tell me which ones which.
Or two watermelons.
Yeah. I do think salty snacks too. You got to remember salt, because you're sweating so much that you're getting rid of all that. So I eat Fritos all the time when I'm at Bonnaroo, because I just need that salt.
I think Abby said beef jerky earlier. One of you did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the power packed protein and salty necessity for me of Bonnaroo. Let junk food be your friend in this weekend.
Yeah.
Junk food with protein and salt.
You have any downtime at all, if you're back at camp, if you're just sitting in a chair, you need to be drinking water, you need to be munching on something, protein, salt, snacks.
Yeah.
Yep. Apple crackers and peanut butter for me is a simple one.
That's good.
Yeah, don't rely on spicy pie every time you're hungry. Don't do it.
Right. Liquid IV. Bring Liquid IV or Gatorade, something like that.
Liquid IV, that's the stuff you put in the water.
Yeah,
right?
Which is the type of thing I can bring, because it's just the little packets that you add to your water.
Just super loads electrolytes and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Propel makes a good one, too. That's what I did last year. Every morning I woke up, drank a 16-ounce water bottle with one of those Propel electrolyte packets, and that pretty much kept me going for the 6 days.
You know, I like what you just said. The routine, that's another thing, maybe especially if you're not used to doing this kind of thing. Like, I don't camp. I mean, this is the only time of the year that I camp.
This is me and Barry both. This is it. Outside of that, give me a DoubleTree hotel and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, so try to get into a routine. When you wake up, you know, hit a bottle of water. When you go back to camp, hit a bottle of water. When you go in, if you're like in Centaroo and you've got the backpack, fill it up, drink the water, take a sip, that type of thing. get a snack. To your point, Beth, what happens is you don't realize, and it's, you know, nighttime and you haven't eaten or you haven't had any water.
Right.
And it's, you know,
it's happened to me. Yeah.
It happened to you. Yeah. You're getting ready to go hard because, you know, somebody's coming on at 2 a.m. and you're in Centaroo and you haven't eaten.
Well, sure. I mean, like, think alcohol, any kind of THC consumption, coffee consumption and then snacking on protein, those can all mask your hunger for many people. Mm-hmm. They can make you think you're not hungry. Now, the protein's good for you to, for a little bit of energy, but you don't want beef jerky for your dinner either, right? So you got to keep that in mind too, that spicy pie is good later on when you need some food in you, like some actual nourishment. So that's another thing. I forget about it all the time because I don't really like to eat. I'm having fun. I don't want to stop and eat. Right. But you got to keep that in mind too.
And along those lines, and here's another thing that's part of the code, look out for your buddy. And look out for somebody you don't know. I mean, if you see somebody sitting under a tree that doesn't look right, you know, get them a water. Check on them.
Sometimes that's hard to tell because some of those people are peacefully asleep.
I know.
They don't look like they are.
And it's also, I mean, you'd like to think it's normal, but not. We don't always do this. But at Bonnaroo, that's the code. Take care of other people. Sure. So if you see somebody that looks like they're struggling, help, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's resonated really well over the years.
Absolutely. You know, hey, man, are you okay? You need a water? You know,
yeah, we want to pull up. Ask.
We want to pull up some comments. I see them coming in there.
We got more comments coming in.
Yeah, let's check a few out.
And I think this one's for Barry because I think he's done this. Jay says, how do we feel about air mattress on a bed of a truck underneath a canopy versus cots for sleeping?
That is Barry's account. Barry, you go for it.
Yeah, I've seen both, man. My first or second year, man, I parked next to a guy who had he had his truck all tricked out. It was awesome. He had to put tarp over it and slept in the bed. It was great. I've done the air mattresses. I like them as long as they don't leak. Last year I bought one of these big boy, fat boy, cots. Works pretty well for me. Sleep like a baby. That was an extra buy. I also bought one of those, tents that clips onto the, Easy Up.
Yeah.
I got that last year. I'm pretty excited about that. So the Easy Up becomes your living room and your place to hang out. As we all did, we put yours, Beth, you guys have yours, and then we clip mine next to yours, and then my tent clips right onto the side of it. I like that a lot. So there's lots of different ways. I don't know what's right or wrong there.
And we got Pondo in chat, too. He says, Pondo approved camping ideas. So shout out to Pondo. Meet up with you again this year now that you're back on the farm.
Yeah. Throw up John's there. I want to let, in case anybody doesn't know this stop, the Bucky's one.
This
there.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
Love going to Bucky's on the way to Rue and loading up on jerky. Highly recommend it.
So, I mean, I'm guessing most people are getting pretty aware of the Bucky's thing. But if you're not, there are a couple of them on the... in the, you know, a 1,000-mile radius of Chattanooga going in a circle. If you want jerky, if you want snacks, it's a wild store. If you've never checked out a Bucky's and they're nowhere near where you live, I'd go ahead and give Bucky's a look on your way in.
Going back to earlier, and Russ, I was hoping you would mention it because I think it's one of your notes. Before you get to Manchester, stop at a gas station and fill up your tank. Don't pull into that line on a quarter tank. Or a half. Yeah, you fill up. Make sure everything's working. You got gas. I mean,
because that uncertainty. If you're just sitting there thinking, "Oh, am I going to make it?" That's just going to add to your stress level, and it's probably already high if you're trying to get in and get set up. So, one more thing to give you peace of mind is a full tank of gas. And that way, you know, when you leave Sunday or Monday, whenever you leave.
Yeah, you just roll right out.
You just roll right out.
I mean, there's memes about it these days of the needing gas. Oh, I'll just get it in the morning.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Yeah,
you and 80,000 people.
Stop. Don't do it. I mean, do it. Don't not do it.
And along
yeah,
those
do
lines,
it outside of Manchester if you can, because Manchester only has so many gas stations.
Yeah,
that's right. And
Winchester
along those lines,
or something like that.
And I heard Brad Parker, I guess he was on with Rubus guys, and I never really thought about this because, of course, we tend to do it differently, but everybody focuses on the going in and the time, but we don't really talk about leaving on Monday morning and that wait time. Mm-hmm. His advice was, you know, if you think you're going to leave 10 minutes after the last note of the headliner on Sunday, you and everybody else is going to leave at that time. So you're going to be stuck in traffic. Maybe give it a minute, give it an hour or two. Or if you're going to leave, you think you're going to roll up when you wake up at 9:30 casually, have a little breakfast. So is everybody else. So, you know, just
the don't schedule a flight for Monday, because I have accidentally done that before, because you think, oh, the festival ends on Sunday, I'll just fly out on Monday. Do not do that.
Plenty of time.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. What else do you got along those lines? Because it's not something I think about.
I was just going to say, I think that for people who don't live in that region, if you don't live in Tennessee, because the first time I went, I was going from Maine. Now I'm going from Washington. Very different climates. So do everything you possibly can to acclimate to how hot that's going to be, whether it's turning the heat on in your house and, you know, making yourself uncomfortable, because you can't really think of what you need to pack when you're not in that environment. And then it's shocking when you get into that
good
heat.
Point.
So that plus walking and walking in whatever shoes you will be walking in at Bonnaroo, because you'll walk a lot farther than you would ever expect. And just
because you might have some super awesome running shoes or whatever, and then you walk around here, but you're not wearing your $200 running shoes to Bonnaroo. You're going to wear those concrete soled New Balances, which are fine too, but make sure your feet are used to them and ready to put possibly 80,000 steps, right?
Yep.
Maybe 70 to 90,000 steps over the course of 4 days. And I'm just making up numbers, but it's going to be a lot. It's going to be
a lot more than you think. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. And it's on a farm. So you're talking now, they have paved a lot. So you're not quite as gravel road as it used to be, but it's still bumpy terrain. It's a farm. Shoes was the big topic 20 years ago when I was first going.
Yeah.
Because it was like, don't wear, you had to have Chacos. Don't wear flip-flops because you're going to get it stuck in the mud.
Don't wear your Birkenstocks. I don't know how.
Don't wear your Birkenstocks.
They're the coolest look ever. A, you're going to ruin them. B, you're going to lose them.
You're going to lose them in the mud.
Beth will like this because she just got back from fish the other day, and I've dropped this many, many times because it's one of the only fish lyrics I can remember. Whatever you do, take care of your shoes.
Yes. Yep.
And that is a song lyric worth living by.
So I have done the cheap $10 Walmart shoes, and they're not comfortable. So, Brian, back to your point, I'm almost like my $200 Hokas, maybe wear the old ones. You know, don't care if I lose them.
If you're already going to
be comfortable,
if that's in your rotation of stuff. I just meant if like you have your one nice pair.
Yeah, yeah.
You might not. I guess the point to that is just whatever you know you're going to wear while you're there, that's what you need. And Beth, you were saying it. That's what you need to get acclimated to, because you can easily think, oh, there's no big difference. Trust me, there's a difference when you're 100-fold the amount of times you're normally going to walk. You can walk on a treadmill every day until you get there. It's good, do it, but it's still not the actual reality of what you're doing.
That also
kind of pair of shoes isn't a bad idea either.
Kind of goes back to Abby and the girl talk and the, you know, the dressing up and the kit or whatever. If you think glitter is a great idea at noon, think about it. You know, or whatever your costume is, you're going to be in that thing all day long, whether it's hot, cold, sticky, sweaty, runny. Mm-hmm. Think about it, you know.
Well, and a lot of people don't think about that. If you're not somebody that drinks 40, 60 or more ounces of water a day, but suddenly you are, your body's going to swell and sew clothes that maybe fit you when you're in, like Beth said, your comfortable AC home. They're going to fit a lot different when your body is trying to save itself from dehydration and heat exhaustion. So either make things a little bit more comfortable for you, size up, or think about that when you're planning these outfits that, you know, like, I can handle it for like 2 or 3 hours at a typical concert, sure. But yeah, can you handle it for 15 hours in the heat, sweating, chafing, all the things that go along with those things? And start drinking water now so your body's used to that and isn't waterlogged a week or two out from the festival.
Good idea. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah, chafing, sunburn, those are real. And they make for a long, horrible time.
You know, we talk about the sun screen and sun all the time because every single person alive knows the sun can do damage to you. That chafing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! That will ruin a weekend.
Monkey butt.
It's been a long time since I've let that happen. But when I did, I mean, I was like, yeah, I've ruined my life. I've ruined Bonnaroo.
If you're listening and if monkey butt is not on one person in your group's list, it needs to be.
Well, and Beast in our chat, I want to give you the credit for saying it.
Powder is, but yeah.
Credit for Beast bringing it up. Gold Bond,
Monkey Butt, whatever.
I mean, Gold Bond has always been my festival performance enhancing drug. And so
that guy's the hero. You don't know it, but that guy on Friday when he brings out the Gold Bond is the hero in the group.
Yeah, B says Gold Bond and Tums are a must, and there that is very go. True. Bring the antacids as well. There you go. Excuse me. I'm so sorry about my voice.
You said clothes. That reminded me, Abby. Prepare for that sort of thing. And we talked about it, Beth. You did. Prepare for hot. Prepare for cold. Prepare for rain. You know, all of those kind of things. It's hard to do, but you have to.
Well, you don't want to overdo it, but you'd rather overdo it than underdo it. Let me ask you this real quick, Abby. Do you and the girlies and anybody in your groups, is costumes a big part of your experience? Maybe not costumes, but just extravagant dressing up that you wouldn't normally do for your regular extracurricular activities?
Yeah, good question. So I think that we kind of go with themes a little bit. There's a lot of websites that offer clothing that is specifically geared towards festivals. So it's made to be comfortable and a little more extravagant, but it's still simple in the foundation of it. So there's a few different websites you can go to that will offer that. And so you get the best of both worlds. But there also is a lot of rave wear or what that EDM crowd wear for sure that is not made for Bonnaroo. Like, it's cute in theory, but it is not made to be outside and in the elements, let alone jumping around, walking around for 5, 6, 10 miles a day. So we do plan that, but we do kind of more of like a bug theme day or a referee day or a Cybertron day. We're able to
I like it. Go ahead. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just.
No. We have fun with it, but we do keep in mind being comfortable and taking care of our bodies to, get through the marathon and not just for a cute Instagram pic. We're making sure that we're living the best of both worlds there.
Russ, I think you used them in Atlanta, right? But the idea of lockers, they have lockers in media, Beth, and that's inside baseball.
Game changer,
First world stuff.
Yeah, just used them last year for the first time, but there's lockers all over the farm.
Well, yeah, you can rent them, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What a great idea, right? So you come in the morning and it's 4,000 degrees and you're not thinking about rain or cold, but you can put a jacket or a different pair of shoes or whatever in a locker. They're not cheap, right? Aren't they 60, 70 bucks or something?
No, but I bet it's worth it.
No, they're not that much. I don't think they're that much.
I think they were about $70 last year.
Wow. Yeah.
It's probably worth it if you take full advantage of it. Abby, do you know anybody who's used that luxury? I'll basically call it a luxury.
No, I did see on Reddit people that were like in their groups, like they'd all split it as a cost and just put their jackets or things in for that night, especially people that were Thursday or Friday arrivals or that were way out, further out on the farm and had a trek. Those that were kind of closer to center didn't have to worry about if they needed to run back to camp. I carry a hydro pack that has a lot of room. I mean, I can put half of my wardrobe for the week in there if I really finagle it. So it's all also about like how your storage walking into center and making sure you have what you need, and then it's on your person and you're not missing a show to like run back and get anything.
Yeah, you could. And I would make a list too.
Make a list of what you're going to need now, not when you're in the heat or hungover or whatever that is. Have a list of what you need to bring into Centaroo. Well, you can.
Yeah.
We have the time right now to think about this stuff. So I think that can be helpful. Just remember what you need.
What are you going to say, Ross?
I was just saying you could split a locker with someone, too. I mean, they're not huge, but, you know, if you just need one or two things, you know, could split the cost and both have access to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, again, there's so many uses, but sunscreen, just some bottles of water unopened that they'll be hot, mm-hmm. but they're still just, hey, we, you know, I mean, that's just two that pop it in my mind. Gold Bond.
All Advil.
The things we're already talking about. Advil.
If you need if you got to take a, you know, a twice a day med or something, I don't know how that works, but
Someone mentioned Dollar Tree for picking up all that stuff. You know, you can get a lot of stuff cheap for just
absolutely. Yeah. The Walmart has two aisles of like $2 shampoos and mm-hmm. all that stuff. Go now. That's another good point. Now's a good time. Which is the point of this show. Now is the time to go start buying that stuff, maybe $5, $10, $20, $30 now, you know, instead of $400 in 5 weeks. You know, start packing it up now, put it out on a table, lay it all out, take a picture, call your friends. I've got this. Not everybody needs to buy a bottle of Advil, you know, one person. Brings the Advil. One person brings whatever, wipes, you know, body wipes or whatever. So not everybody.
That's not to be discounted either. Just a big old thing of cheap baby wipes.
Absolutely.
And put them in your cooler.
Mm-hmm. Those are awesome.
Put those baby wipes in the cooler.
Oh, my God, Abby. Oh, my God. Keep them in the cooler? Why didn't I think of that?
Also,
my whole life is why didn't I think of the best ideas in the world? Abby, what a great suggestion.
And along those lines, somebody bring a gallon of water, or the 2-gallon thing of water, and a bar of soap so you can wash your hands. I've told this story before. The first couple of years I did the sanitizers and thought I was clean, and then I left on a Sunday or whatever, Monday, and went across the street to the gas station and went to wash my hands. Oh my God, it was disgusting.
It's like a film.
The stuff that came off of my hands, and I'd been eating. Yeah, you want water. That little gallon thing that has the squeeze thing on it, that kind of stuff. Get one of those. My best tip, I've always said, go buy a case of bottled water, and I hate to use the plastic and the recycling, but start freezing them now. Yeah. Use those as your ice.
Definitely part of our do's and don'ts every year, but I mean, you can't say it enough. Abby, you had something to say, it looked like. What do you got?
Yeah, well, when Barry mentioned the sanitizer, it got me thinking. One of the things I did last year and I plan to do again this year is start boosting your immune system before you get on the farm, drinking emergency or different things like that, vitamins.
A bunch of vitamins.
You're going to be exposed to so many germs and different people's germs.
And just
that,
pollen, not enough sleep.
What's the word? I was going to say just as a side note, if you're coming from far away, bring allergy meds because you're going to encounter things that you're not used to in whatever your home region is. So I get allergies immediately when I get to
Beth out immediately.
I wish I could go early.
From a different region.
Bring that even if you don't usually.
You're going to think you got Legionnaire's disease because I'm convinced that. Yeah, it's. So start hydrating. Start walking. get used to, I don't know, Beth, I don't know how you get used to the heat and humidity, but
yeah, it was real. rough last year.
People, you know, everybody jokes, oh, the heat in Middle Tennessee, it's unbelievable. So what else? What are the other, again, bring that good attitude, acclimate yourself when you get there, start looking for landmarks, especially at night, because it looks completely, oh, that's what I was going to say. It is huge. The farm is massive. You can't understand how big it is until you get there.
We're talking about, especially from like a first timer or a new timer. Once you get to know it very, very, very well, it doesn't feel so big. But when you are just laying your eyes on this place, if you've been told a lot about it and you're anticipating a really magically, you know, wonderfully wild time, it is all of those things. And it's a lot of stimulation, and it's going to easily just distract. Oh, look at this. Hey, look at that. Hey, look at this. And next thing you know, you won't remember you were in pod 7.
Yeah.
And you'll think, was that 1 or 7 or 9?
1 or 7, but not just that. If you're looking at the schedule and you think, oh, I'm going to see this act, and then I'll pop over and see that act, and then I'm going to go out to House of Yes and see that act, and then I'm going to pop back and see the what state. You're not. It's too big. As we've said, make your plan right now. Get your schedule. Write it down. Plan for it. And then when you get there, throw it away, because you're never going to do everything you think you're going to do. Yeah. And that's not being snarky. You just can't.
Yeah. It's still fun to do, though. It's like fantasy sports, you know?
Yeah. I usually don't even plan. I mean, this year I've planned it a lot more than I have, because there are a lot of bands I want to see, but I'll often just go not even knowing who's there and just plan day by day. Because it's like whatever you can, because you may think, you know, I saw Michigander last night and it was so great. And I wish I had seen him at the farm, but it was at 2 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
And there was no way I was leaving camp when it was that hot. So some of those afternoon ones, it's just not going to happen. So I don't want to get too excited, and then the situation just doesn't allow me to go to these things.
Well, I mean, we're saying the same thing. It's like, just let it happen and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Whatever is happened is going to be great. It's never not great, right?
Never not great.
What do you got, Russ?
One thing you don't want to miss is Thursday at 4 p.m. in the Planet Rue on the house stage. You can see us live.
Come see us.
Figure that's worth a plug. We can have a meetup there at Planet Rue, and we're going to do a live podcast with Brad Parker, with some other special guests. We're going to have a musical guest that we're working on, and then, some people said, excited to come out and hang out with us.
Definitely good to bring that up, Russ, but we will beat you over the head with this one between now and June.
Yeah.
At least we'll try not to do it too much. But we are looking forward to this. It's a very exciting thing for us, and it'll come together more over the next month or so. Russ, do we have any? Looks like the chat comments are piling up. Let's throw some up.
Well, here's one. We got Bona Dude in the chat. What's up, Bona
Dude?
Bona Dude. Bona Dude.
Level Up Podcast. One thing that's easy to overlook is a sleeping mask and earplugs for camp. He uses noise canceling AirPods and a fan sound app. That's a good point.
That's a good one.
You need to get sleep. And
I use
you need to be
the
able to
fan
fall
app
asleep.
On this. I do that.
I use the foam earplug. I sleep like a baby at Bonnaroo. Everybody asks me that. I sleep like a baby.
This guy, the rest of us are dying over here to get some shut eye, and this guy's asleep. Snoring it up.
The snoring is bad. I apologize.
It's fine. I'm just ecstatic. I think it's lovely. Somebody's getting such good sleep at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
What else we got in that chat there? Russ, I know I saw a few.
Let's see. Lana said, get lights or a flag or something to help you spot camp at night farther away. That's a good point.
That is kind of day one stuff. But people forget it, and the importance cannot be discounted in any way. Something that gives you that. It's the totem concept, right?
The
totem of walking around. It's the same concept for your car, except it never moves.
get you an AirTag for your car, and that way you can at least navigate back to it if you're having trouble finding.
Here's what happens, guys. So you camp, you pitch your tent, you know, it looks good. You see the guy next to you, he's got a whatever, a cat totem or whatever, and you recognize it. And what happens is by the you leave and then three other people move in and camp, and all of a sudden that corner changes. It looks different, and that's what you don't anticipate. And then it looks different at night.
And then there's going to be a lot of people have those balloons and flags that are similar because of maybe a character, like a SpongeBob character. I'm making stuff up here, whatever it might be.
Exactly.
And then you're going to be like, that kind of looks like it, except those cars weren't there before. That kind of looks like, so you got to keep that in mind, too.
And you might have had a beer. You might have had a, you know, whatever.
Things I hear you guys. I hear you guys still drink.
Some of you
get
people
stuff
do things. Whatever.
Yeah.
It just changes. So
people
just
do say, drink a beer, drink a PBR with Taco. I'm all, I support.
Yeah, Pondo, man, I'm so happy he's gonna be back.
Me too. I would also say join the Discord.
Join the Discord.
A lot of people coming in.
We've got lots of do's and don'ts. I mean, we can go through all those, but we've done them. Brad Parker had There's Beth. She's back.
Here I am.
Beth is back.
I think Brad Parker had two of my favorite ideas: drink lots of coconut water and the adult juice packs.
It was applesauce.
That's a great idea. Gonna do that.
I love applesauce.
Beth, while we've got you, what do we need to bring? What can I promise that Taco will bring to our camp this year?
What can we make Taco do for us?
Because I'll do it. I'll bring it.
I mean, it's like Abby was saying, I think that's the most important thing that you were saying is about the immune. As long as we all stay healthy, we're all going to be happy. So whatever is going to keep us, you know, hydrated and happy and healthy
and clean
and clean.
Yeah, there you go. You said it right there. I was just going to say one thing that I like about you guys and we've always tried to do is keep your camp clean.
Yeah. Organize it. Find ways to organize.
Police it. We don't let trash sit around, recycle, be respectful to your neighbors. You know, all that kind of stuff. Also, be mindful of your easy ups. When you leave and go to Centaroo, a storm can come up. Put your easy up down. Whatever. Secure it, because those things become lethal.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I think I mentioned in our thread, and right as we were trying to put together this week's show and what we were going to talk about, within 10 minutes, hour, whatever it was, Festival had posted some video that somebody had sent in from Coachella. You know, you don't think of Coachella as, you know, it's California. They're not having any kind of weather that we're going to have to deal with in Tennessee. And there's canopies flying all over the place.
Yeah.
There. And I'm the worst ever. I don't think I've ever staked down anything I've ever done.
Years ago, wasn't it? Where we had the storm come up.
We had some weather and somebody had to kind of stash my stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't around.
My friend, the Velans, took care of us. And Beth, I think you guys were back there and probably.
It's real easy to be like, boy, it's nice out here and there's no wind and feels good and we're ready to go and everything looks good. Nothing staked down, take off. So cell comes through. All your shit's gone.
Not just gone, but like I said, those things become dangerous.
And dangerous. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take out a car or your.
The chances are it's not going to happen. But if it does, it is going to be a really bad time and ruin your weekend.
Yeah. Repair tape for your tent. So have somebody bring one of those, because I know there's a little hole in the tent that I bought last year. And if it does rain, you want to be able to fix things.
I mean, I guess if you got duct tape, that'll work in a pinch. But there's probably even better tape out on the market that would be better for something like that, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you got, Russ?
I don't know.
All right. All right. Good stuff. Again, go back. We've done do's and don'ts. We can rehash all of that. You know, I've seen things, people's comments have changed about bringing things to cook. we've always said don't do it, but like we said, Beth, is it Mike that does the cooking?
Yeah, Mike does a lot. Brad does the morning. He does the burritos.
Yeah, it can freaking be amazing.
It was great. Yeah,
he does great breakfast burritos.
I changed my mind.
It can be done. Yeah. It certainly can be done, but it can't be done half-assed. You got to have somebody who understands the grill well. You need a good grill, too, by the way. Don't get some, like, $10 piece of junk that's got open flame and stuff.
Along those lines, if you remember, we had an injury.
That blew up. Yeah. A Coleman
okay,
blew up.
Right? Mm-hmm. So be careful. Know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Don't let your first time doing something be on the farm.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't know how to use a piece of equipment beforehand,
do it on the farm.
Check it. And that's why we're doing this show, actually.
Yeah.
Now is the time. Go out in the driveway. Mm-hmm. You know,
this is your reminder.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had three different tents that I've used in the last like 18 years. I don't remember what I did the first like five, but all three of them, I showed up without putting them up before I got there.
Yeah.
All three of them. I didn't learn my lesson each time, and I just did it again.
Yeah.
Don't be dumb like me.
I can't believe we're ending with this and not starting with this, because this is what I always say. Right now, take your equipment outside, put it up full-fledged. Don't just put it up to make sure that it works, that the rats haven't eaten a hole in it, that you're missing a pole, that you forgot that a pole was broken and you meant to replace it.
Or that you forgot you spilled a coffee all over inside of it last year.
And it's dry rotted and stinks and it's moldy. Yeah, exactly. Take it out now. Wash it, you know, if it's your sleeping bag or your pillow or whatever. Now is the time, because you don't want it to be Tuesday afternoon on the farm. And you're like, oh, man, I meant to get that one pole.
The suggestions for making your campsite great is not an hour or an hour and a half show. It's like a 5 to 10 hour show. I mean, it's a never-ending dialogue and conversation. And, Abby, you said it earlier where you've spent a lot of time on Reddit, and it's a good place if you can get through all the weeds when to get to the good information. As we do wrap up, Abby, your last thoughts on things for this year that you've learned from a year before? And, you know, just we're almost there, you know, a month and a half, barely. Just your final thoughts.
Yeah, and I really want to hear your, because, again, I want to point out to people, you had your wristband stolen.
Oh, yeah, we should reset that story.
And you got, you know, separated, and it turned out great. And so that's sort of the, you know, that's the point I want to make to everybody.
So combo all that together however
awesome,
you want.
Okay. No matter what happens.
Okay. So for first timers, returners, but as somebody who was a first timer last year and did have, you know, how I even came to have a connection with you guys, my wristband being stolen, right? Take the negative for what it is, work within the bounds, handle it, find alternative routes, have other plans and set, and just trust that the farm and Rue will take care of you. You're going because it's an experience, and let it be just that. Take everything for what it is. Don't let the bad outweigh the good. Stay off of the socials during the festival. Enjoy the present and what's in front of you, not what's on a screen.
Good call.
And just be willing to be uncomfortable and open yourself up to others and what the festival is, good vibes, and enjoy every second of it. I can't wait to see everybody there. And I honestly, the experiences I had are a story that I'll cherish, and it wasn't a damper by any means. I've thought about this festival every day for the entire year, and I am so stoked to be back in June.
Beth, what do you got for us here as we, your closing statements,
Ms.
Storm.
That was so good. That was such a good way to end.
That was a good one.
I would just kind of follow that with, we're telling you to bring a million things. It really doesn't matter. We're saying all this stuff because it's fun to pack and plan and try to anticipate everything and bring everything. But you're going to deal with it. If you forget things, It's fine. You know, the lifestyle there, you're just able to be happy without a lot of stuff. So you want to do whatever is going to make you comfortable in the environment so that you can enjoy the moment. So well, somebody else will have it. If you don't bring it, somebody else will have it.
As a majority of us on this call right now are of a little advanced age, I know having fun and looking good and looking pretty and doing all the things that everybody, all the trends is a big deal, but you want to have fun, right? You want to be comfortable and you want to have fun. And the more you can put into that and then add everything else in that Abby and many of her friends and people more from different generations want to do, you can do both of those things. But damn it, be comfortable. Don't be sunburned. Don't be dehydrated. It's the same thing every year. Take care of your shoes and don't get hurt and because you'll have a terrible time. I don't care how good you think you look. You won't have any fun if you're not comfortable.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And everybody looks like shit because it's hot.
Right.
Yeah.
You get over that real quick.
Sounds like I would have said that. Barry's stealing my line.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, all right, so there you go. That's a lot of good information, right? It's not quite a do's and don'ts. We've done that. We'll do it again, maybe. I don't know. There's so much good information on Reddit, and we've done it a lot.
I think we can still dig up maybe a version of a do's and don'ts.
Okay.
We got do's and don'ts.
But, yeah. Yes, it's getting tougher and tougher because those do's and don'ts get to be more widespread. But there's always going to be somebody, though. You can tell them 100 times. Me, I'm the guy. You can tell me 100 times.
Right.
And until that 101st.
Well, the big thing.
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
The big thing to point out is this is the end of April. It will be here. And if you think, I'll go check on my tent tomorrow or next weekend, you're going to be opening your tent up on the farm and you're going to find out you forgot a pole.
We're burying the
or
lead.
Your tent.
The best month of the year is over in a few minutes.
It's over. All right, there you go. So I hope you enjoyed this live one. Thanks to everybody that joined us.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll be back next week with another show.